Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Well, are you ready to launch into 2021? I love the first Sunday of February. I love that sense of let's go, especially this year. It's let's go somewhere together. If I think about the last few years of church, wow, like, you know, the 2 years ago, we were sort of building all of our structures and financials behind the scene as our church, and then this time last year, we were in the middle of a building program, and this was not like it is now. But this year, we arrived at church, and it's like, it's done. No more people banging walls and painting and moving things. I've got an office I can turn up to. But more than that, there's a sense of God's taking us somewhere as a church and taking us into Him. And I know that's an odd thing to say, but let's go on a journey in God, not just doing church. It's not just coming on a Sunday. It's what we get to do together to connect with the living God every day of our life together. Isn't that awesome? And this morning, I want to start this whole series, a year-long series. I've never done this. It's always been month by month. But this year, I felt like God said, just take a whole year. Explore all the Gospels. That's it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The reading plan is out there. I hope you've got that for the month. It'll be a new one each month. Track through with us in your life groups. We're all together. We're doing the one thing, tracking through the journey of Jesus and just three simple questions. Here it is. What does each passage say about Jesus? What do these passages mean for the way we might live following Jesus today? And how might we shift our world to follow him? You reckon we can do that? So we're starting in the beginning. Just two passages this morning in John 1 and Luke 1. John and Luke are writers of the Gospels. Luke happens not to be an eyewitness. Luke came on the scene later and compiled Luke's Gospel from all the writings. And he wrote an ordered account. You know, he was a kind of a doctor, a very kind of ordered thinker. And so Luke's Gospel is like that. But John... well, John knew Jesus. John was the fisherman. John was the one who Jesus says, hey, come and follow me and his brother James, and they followed him. John knew Jesus personally. And John writes what I think is probably the most beautiful language in the whole of Scripture, John's prologue, John 1, 1-18, which I'm going to read to you in a second. But he writes it probably around 100 AD. It's probably 60 or 70 years since Jesus died. He's an old man, probably, we think. And he's writing, he's thinking back. I mean, imagine having those thoughts in your head as an old man of 90 or so. And going, I need to get this down. I need to write what I know. He hasn't forgotten Jesus. He hasn't left. He's burning with passion because the person of Jesus made such an impact on John. And what he wrote, John's gospel, I'm telling you, is the most incredible gospel. It's the most amazing beginning. Let me read you from the beginning of John's gospel. I'm just going to read it without it on the screen. And even you might, I don't know, close your eyes or just try and think of what John is talking about as an old man trying to communicate what he experienced. Here we go, John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything that was made that has been made. And in him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. It's John the Baptist. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came as a witness to the light. The true light, which gives light to the world, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." What an incredible, we could spend all year on John's prologue. We just start in the beginning, and then I'm going to jump to the key verse. Because in the beginning was the Word. The Word means the reason behind the universe. That's kind of what the Greek word means, logos. It's the reasoning. It's the explanation of all things in the universe. It's the expression of God himself, and it is Jesus. So Jesus was in the beginning. He was before all things, right? Jesus didn't just appear at Christmas time. Jesus was in the beginning. He always was the Son of the Father, in the beginning with God. And he was God and with God. And all things were made through Jesus. Colossians 1 backs that up. He actually made everything. He made everything from the stars and the planets to the rivers and the mountains and the streams to you and I. He is the author of creation. He has all things. He made all things. He owns all things. He is behind all things. He is through all things. Jesus, the one whom we worship, made everything. Unbelievable. Then it says that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. If you want to look for true light, Jesus is the light. Jesus illuminates life. He illuminates us. He gives us vision and purpose and clarity, and it shines in the darkness. Jesus' life shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. There's nothing you can do to snuff out the life of Jesus. Oh, we've tried over the years, haven't we? They tried killing him. That didn't work. All kinds of countries are trying to outlaw Jesus. That doesn't work. You cannot snuff out the life of Jesus. Even secular Western society cannot snuff out the light that is Jesus. I tell you, it's like trying to lock something down that can never be contained. He is light and life. But I want to jump to verse 14 because I think of all the verses in this prologue, verse 14 is the most powerful. Let's pull it up on the screen so you can see it. It says, "The Word became flesh." Oh my goodness. The Word, the power behind the universe, the one who spoke stars and planets into being. If you know how much hydrogen and helium is in our sun alone, let alone some of these massive fireballs that we see from such distance, Jesus said, "Let there be." And there was these massive balls of fire, galaxies upon galaxies. He, the Word, created all that. The Amazon rainforest, Kakadu, the Macquarie River. He made it all. But then it says he became flesh. Can you imagine that? What does that mean? He put on skin. He put on human limitation. Eugene Peterson says, he's like this, he moved into the neighborhood. He puts on flesh and blood, and I don't know what that would be like, but imagine that, just putting on flesh and blood, and suddenly you are restricted to humanity. Suddenly you get tired. You get hungry.
get cranky. Suddenly you have to live with sweat and work. Why would someone do that? Why would the God who is all-powerful and all-knowing step into our limitation and in our humanity? But he did. He moved into our neighborhood and he walked the streets, physical streets, real time of place. And he became friends with people. He hung out with them. He ate with them. He did life with them. Went to weddings and funerals with them, feasts and famines. And he showed us how to do life as God, but as a man. He gave us the example. He said, this is how you should do life. He moved into our neighborhood and said, hey, let me show you. And right at the end of John's prologue, verse 18, it says that Jesus explains God, or he reveals God. You want to know what God looks like? It's Jesus. You want to understand the nature and the character of God? Look at Jesus. That's what we're doing all year. We're going to understand. God is not distant and removed. He's physically present. He moves into our neighborhood. He dwells among us. I was trying to think of just a normal human example, and I've been watching The Crown, you know, Netflix. I know I'm behind. Yeah, I know it was kind of a month ago that the next series came out, but I'm fascinated by the royal family and how that works and the fact that it does work somehow. Anyway, I was trying to think of what would it be like if the Queen moved into my house. If she said, Jeff, can I come and stay for a week? Like, welcome to Patna Street, you know. Welcome to my house. Like, it'd be ridiculous. You know, she'd move into my house. Welcome, Your Majesty. How much more grand is the coming of Jesus into our world, into our humanity and our flesh and blood? Next, John writes this, we have seen his glory. We saw it. John was an eyewitness. John was there when they poured water and it came out wine. John was there when they raised people from the dead like Lazarus. John was there when they healed people. John was there when there was a multiplication of bread and 5,000 people were fed from just a few fish and loaves. John was there. John was there when Jesus was transfigured on a mountain and became kind of weird, you know, transfiguration. He kind of left his humanity just for a moment. It's a whole other story. John was there at his death, right there, right at Jesus' side. John was there at the Last Supper. See, John says, I've seen his glory. I've watched it. I've seen it, and I'm telling you, it is glorious. I've seen it. And then what does he say? His glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. What came out of Jesus? Summarized right here, says John, who knew Jesus personally. Grace and truth. What is grace? Let me read you a theological definition that I wrote down. Grace is the kindness which bestows upon one what he or she does not deserve. It's undeserved kindness. So Jesus arrives into every situation with undeserved kindness, blessing, favor. That's what Jesus, the most holy man ever to walk the face, walked around being kind, being generous, full of love, full of mercy, full of forgiveness. That's the first thing that John notices. He says, full of what? Grace. It was the first thing he realized. Jesus is full of grace. He was the most incredible person to be around. That's why people flocked after him. And they came after him. And he wasn't some religious person who was very stern with people. You must follow the right way. He was in the crowds, mixing with the people. Grace, love, and kindness. That's what characterized Jesus. But then it says also truth. Truth is that which pertains to God and the duties of man, as opposed to superstition and theories. You know. So our world has lots of ideas on how to do life, right? Lots of philosophies. Sometimes it's superstitious, you know, from that end, right through to kind of human arrogance in our puffed up state. You ask 100 different people about the meaning of life and what truth is, and you'll probably get 100 different versions. But Jesus actually is the truth. He's not just containing truth, he is the truth. And so he would accurately teach and guide. Wasn't just full of love and kindness and fake smiles. That preceded, hey, I've got a way that you can live that actually works. Hey, there is a real God behind the universe, and this is what he's like. Hey, this is how you should live. Do you see the difference? So often in our world, we think kindness and grace is all, gets a bit fluffy. Gets a bit, yeah, just do whatever you like, and we'll love you, and it's good. And of course, we love people. But Jesus was able to go, beautiful grace first, and then, hey, if you want your life to work, this is how you should live. Hey, there is a God. There is a judgment. There is a heaven and a hell. There is a way. There is a truth. He says, it's all about me. So these things, John saw grace and truth. He saw them personally. And then he says, he bore witness about that. So what? That's what the Bible talks about. The second question is, what does it mean for us? Good on you, John. It's great that you saw those things. Thanks for writing them down for us. What does it mean for us in Bathurst 2021? So what? We read that scripture. So God's big, I suppose. You know, what's the take home? He's beautiful. Here's some thoughts on that. Is it, go back to that verse. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Do you know the Holy Spirit who came after Jesus came inside every believer? This is incredible, right? So Jesus was limited by one physical body. You got that? So wherever Jesus was, he also wasn't. Okay, so if he went to Cana, he wasn't in Jerusalem because he was just a person, right? But when Jesus left, he sent the Holy Spirit down, also God, to fill every person. So now wherever the Holy Spirit is in Bathurst, well, he's also in Jerusalem or in Kuala Lumpur or in Darwin, you know? Now the whole world is filled with the glory of God because people, now watch this. Holy Spirit enters humanity. See that? The Word becomes flesh. How can you have the Holy Spirit, the Word, God, living in your heart? Let me give you an answer. It's called prayer. That's simple. Every time you pray, what's going to come in? Grace and truth. Every time you make a connection with God, what's the thing that John saw? Grace and truth. Here's a radical thought. How about G&T with Jesus? Grace and truth. Grace and truth. What if every hour of my life, I made a conscious thought, hey, close my eyes. Center myself around Jesus. What's going to come into my spirit? Grace and truth. Word becomes flesh. Now, I'm not just talking historically. Jesus entered, you know, Cana and walked around. But now, right, the Holy Spirit is inside of us. He, the Word, becomes flesh inside of us. How do we activate that? It's just prayer. What a radical thought. What if we started the day with prayer? What if we just got up in the morning and thought, instead of rushing off to our world and our responsibilities, just Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence right now. And what would he bring? Grace and truth. And what if every now through the day, I just checked in with God. What if I'm stressed about something and trying to sort? Grace and truth. Grace is
favor and unmerited kindness, and I sense God's love for me. Truth is guiding me. Hey, Jeff, why don't you try that? It might save about 3 hours of anxiety. What? This is incredible. What if we live like that? You know, I think this is a secret. Because God's presence is only ever found in the present. God's presence is only found in the present. You can remember back to some great times with God, but that's gone. You might look forward to, when I get older, then I'll spend time with. That's in the future. The only time you can ever connect with God is right now. God's presence is only ever experienced in the present moment. So at that point, right now, we can pray. And the Holy Spirit can come in with grace and truth. He enters our neighborhood. You with me? So could this life be like this? I wake up and I invite God into my world and I'm filled with grace and truth. And then every moment of the day, I go, that's right. Thank you, Jesus. Grace and truth comes flooding in. This is how David lived. He meditated on the law of God day and night. Paul says to pray continually, pray always. And it doesn't mean that we're always in the clouds. You know, we've all got jobs and families and whatever to do. But just living without an awareness of God's grace and truth in our life, I wonder what difference that would make. And here's the point. I wonder if we could be a conduit of grace and truth to our world. Do you know what a conduit is? It's a pipe. There's all kinds of conduits in the ceiling. I know, I've seen them. It's conduits that carry water and electricity. But just imagine the conduit of grace and truth. Because doesn't our world need grace and truth? Doesn't that the thing that loving kindness and forgiveness and mercy and things, but also guided by the truth about Jesus? This is the balance of what our world needs. But I can't be grace and truth to my world unless I'm receiving grace and truth from something more powerful. I don't know about you, but I just fail again and again. But what if I've tapped into this source of grace and truth, and there's a flow in my world, and my world becomes full of grace and truth? Suddenly, the Word becomes flesh and dwells amongst us. Now, forgive me for this example. The best illustration that I could think of is Back to the Future. Any Back to the Future, Michael J. Fox fans, there's a handful in the room. Anybody ever not see that? Anyway, hands down. There's a scene in this movie, and this is what has to happen. They go, I forget, I think it's 2.1 gigabytes of power. Is that right? Is that right? Gigawatts, not gigabytes. I'm in computer land. They've got to channel this power into the flux capacitor of the DeLorean to send it back to the future. The problem is that they're in the 1956, I think, 50s somewhere, and there's no way that they can get this kind of power into the flux capacitor of the DeLorean. Hang on a sec. I'm going to show a picture. Just hold it. Just hold it. And so what happens is that they realize that a lightning strike can have that kind of power. Well, that's easy. All we've got to do is channel that lightning into the DeLorean. And they realize that they know when a lightning is going to strike because they're back, they're behind, I don't know. They're in the past, thank you. And we are back to the past, back to the present, actually. Anyway. So they know this lightning is going to strike this clock tower, and they set up this thing so they can channel power into the DeLorean, and it's all going very well, and they've got this thing to connect. But the problem is, and here's the picture, the problem is the cord is too short. Do you know the scene? Here's Doc, he's up there, and it's almost the time, and it's, oh my goodness, this thing doesn't reach. I think a tree fell on the power or something. And it's like, this is the only point in history that I can ever send Michael J. Fox, whoever the character is, back to the future. What do? He says, I know, I'll just hang there. I will be the conduit of this power, and I'm going to, it's going to go through my body, and it actually works. I don't know how he doesn't die, but it's a movie. But what an illustration. There he is, being the conduit of grace and truth and powering that into his world. What an illustration of what we're to do. If we could just connect with the grace and the truth that is circling around our universe that is in God and channel it so that we get this conduit into our world, we would be conduits of grace and truth. That's all we got to do. Living with an awareness. Now, that's not just a one-off occasion every time a lightning strike. That's any moment of our life. You can connect to this power. See, every time I pray, grace and truth comes flooding into my world, and I can then send that wherever I like into my world. That's where we want to start this year. So the third question is, what do we need to change to make that happen? What practical adjustments do I need? Now, for Doc, it was climbing a tower. And what is it for us? How do we become conduits? How do we shift our world so that we are conduits of grace and truth? Not just today, because it's church day and we're all friendly. What about Monday, Tuesday? So here's some really practical things. Get up and pray. Get up and just connect. Psalms are great. If you're disconnected, you haven't got a plan or whatever, start with a psalm. Psalm a day. The language of the psalms is the tune of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you. Just a psalm, it'll connect you because it's real and raw, but you're reading mostly David, who walked with God like few people ever did. You hear his angst and his cry, but you hear his victory as well. So before anything, get up, read a psalm. Connect with God. Find a space. Get back that space with Jesus. It's really quite simple. And I reckon it's certainly my secret. If I don't do it, I'm grumpy. You know, it's my family. So I get up and I find a space and I do it. But the second thing, and I think this is what we don't do so well, I certainly come and go at this, but I want to make this a real thing, is checking in with God during the day. I pray and I spend an hour or so and just praying and whatever in the morning. But then so often, I get so consumed, even in church things, you know, just the stuff that I get to the end of the day and I go, I didn't actually check in with God since 7 o'clock. Imagine that as a relationship. So let's check in. I don't know, maybe, remember the days where your clock used to bip on the hour? Casios. I remember at school, we all discovered it, and you three. I don't know. What would just remind you? Oh, grace and truth. It could just be that. Thank you, Jesus. GNT with Jesus. It's terrible. I just wonder. And then just finding a rhythm and walking with him and hearing his voice. Channeling into your world. Some things just might make such a difference. Ben, can I get you on the guitar? I just want to pray to finish. And as we do that, maybe the Holy Spirit would just speak to you about something in your world. Maybe something's going to come in fresh to you and give you a brand new walk with Jesus this year. And I tell you, every week we're just going to do one thing. There's going to be sort of 40 or 50 just little things that we can build into our world, be a channel of grace and truth. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you became flesh and you dwelled among us. I pray this morning that you give us the courage to step in and be that conduit in our world. We're so grateful for all that you've done, but I'm praying right now that you'd help us to connect with the power of the universe, to be a conduit of grace and truth, and Holy Spirit, that there would be life flowing through our veins, grace to our world, truth to our world. And Jesus, I'm praying that you would help us to sort out our world. Father, help us to find that time first thing of the morning to fight for it, to find a rhythm and a simple connection with you. Lord, that we'd speak your words, fill our hearts. And then through the day, somehow that we'd connect in with you and just be reminded of who we are and who you are. Holy Spirit, come, speak to us now. Just before Jesus right now. Even just make a commitment to him, just on your own, with your eyes closed. Make a plan right now in the presence of God. Tomorrow morning, what does it look like? Where are you going to sit? What are you going to read? How are you going to extract yourself? What are you going to leave behind? Holy Spirit, give us inspiration and ideas and a method and a strategy to make this work. And how are you going to remember during the day? Just to check in and to be a conduit of grace and truth. Walking with Jesus freely and lightly, not being hindered by the stuff around us, but bringing his world into our world. Lord, that through us, dwelling would be amongst people. Holy Spirit, come and fill us with hope and just a joy of looking forward to a year of walking with you and learning some new steps, learning how to walk freely and lightly. Holy Spirit, I thank you that your destiny and your future for us is amazing. We'll step into that, Lord. We are your disciples. And if you don't really know Jesus yet, I tell you, today's a great day to start. You're here in the room and you need to re-kick something. I'm going to ask you in a second to raise your hand. One prayer isn't kind of what it does. Prayer at the start is just, hey, I'm starting a journey or I'm restarting it. It's what happens next is key. Any relationship just can't be based around one commitment. It's based around an everyday connection. But you could start that or restart it right here in this building and commit yourself to walking with Jesus this year and seeing how everything could change. So just, if that's you, you want to restart a walk with Christ or begin it, and you've never been there, that's okay, but we're going to help you. Just raise your hand right now. I want to help you on this journey. Signal to me, hey, I'm in. I'm back in. I want in. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. It's going to be a great year for you. Tell you, you're in the right spot. Anybody else just want to jump in and say, hey, this morning I want to start following Jesus, or I'm going to restart following Jesus. You, Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for an awesome year ahead. Amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.